It is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in. My name's Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi, of course, in Jersey. Got a big show coming up for you today. A little prop special, Michael. We'll go NFC North competitive division. Of course, the AFC North, a big-time favorite with the Ravens. But first, we say, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing great, Patrick. Thank you. How are you doing? Things good. Happy July, by the way.
Can you believe it?
It's unbelievable. This should be the month of football, so let's hope so. And, you know, the alternative that I'm reading about college football certainly could be in the spring. So either way, I think we're on our way to getting some kind of sports back. So I'm excited.
You know, it's interesting. When I looked at the calendar in July, obviously, I just thought March to July, then it kind of started to crystallize what we've gone through as a country and a sporting landscape as well. But again, I think one sport in particular, the NFL, looks like they're just going to keep plowing through. Just to back up a little bit, you know, Canton Hall of Fame game, that doesn't mean anything totality wise to the schedule at all, correct?
No, in fact, I think what it means is simply what I think will happen is I think we'll have two preseason games and talking to people. So what will happen is the first weekend will get canceled. The second and third, I think they play. The fourth gets canceled so that teams, in case you have guys that perhaps catch this, have 2 weeks to recover before the season starts. So there's that buffer period. So I think that's how we're going to do it.
Yeah, and there's going to be players that catch it. Listen, the numbers, whether it's the MLS, the NBA, the teams that have tested, they're emblematic of what's happening in society, right? Percentage-wise. So we're going to there's going to be a quarantine situation. You're going to see players as we get closer to the bubble situation in Orlando be quarantined. That's why as a bettor, to say this is uncharted territory is an understatement.
No doubt. I mean, and that's why you have to rely on other factors with a points bet weekly to help you navigate this, because in football, there are some players who are going to shift the number that Vegas doesn't always know. And you can certainly make a case for a guy that if you don't think he's healthy or he's going to be out or he's not feeling good, you know, then all of a sudden he's got to take himself out. It really can be dynamic. And I think how they work the roster also is going to be interesting, because there are going to be guys who need to miss a week, and you can't really handicap a team because of it.
Yeah, in Major League Baseball, a taxi squad, it's going to be fascinating how pitchers are used and utilized. You mentioned Point Spread Weekly drops every single Wednesday. Go to VSiN.com for the information. Michael, of course, contributes there. Okay, let's start here. You probably have heard by now, but Cam Newton has joined the Patriots. Now, the number hasn't budged, Michael. Cam is minus 400 to be the starter week one. Remember, his MVP numbers went crazy. He's 25-1 at many books, which is tied with Aaron Rodgers and Kyler Murray as far as MVP odds. Stidham's 3-1 to be the starter in week one, and then Hoyer 33-35-1 there.
Yeah, well, I think Cam came in. He didn't want anybody promising him anything. I think what you'll see is Cam being the man. And Cam is really talented. If Cam's healthy, which we think he is, he goes back to that 2018 Cam where he threw for 15 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions. The Panthers were 6-2, and he was making plays all over the field. That Cam is going to be hard for anybody to beat out. Now, look, that doesn't mean they don't like Jarrett Stidham. They do. But Cam's different. Cam is a MVP, former MVP player, who the players all know will be the best player on the Patriots team if he's healthy, and that'll allow him to be the starter.
So, Michael, you like this. I had Derek Anderson, a 14-year career, 7 years as a backup to Cam. Probably knows Cam better than family members, right? 7 years as a backup. He said, one, he's the greatest guy ever, and two, he said he was so injured, he wasn't comfortable with telling me how hurt Cam was. When right. Cam hurt the shoulder, he was asking him after every series, are you okay? Do I need to warm up throughout the whole? I mean, he was completely banged up.
No doubt. And I think that really took a toll on his career. Now healthy, watch out. In that offense, watch out. But the reality of it is Cam Newton will be the starter day one for the Patriots.
Okay, so listen, you got to lay four. So 400 to win 100. But probably if you're listening to Michael, if there's no hiccups as far as health, which, you know, past the physical, he should be the starter there week one. So not a ton of value, 3-1 on Stidham. Okay, Lombardi Line 2020 prop special part two. We're going north. NFC and AFC coming up on the Lombardi Line, of course, proudly presented by BetMGM. So we continue along at M Lombardi NFL. If you'd like to find him on Twitter, we're at VEASAN Live. We welcome you in. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. We're going to do a little prop special. And, you know, I want to start with the NFC North. Not because I'm a Lions fan, but because this division is fascinating, right? It's a 13-3 team last year, and of course the Packers that won the division, 13-3. I think when you go deeper into the numbers over the last 25 years, it's maybe the third luckiest or second luckiest 13-3 team that we've seen. You know, their point differential was minuscule, but it's very competitive this year. A team to beat, if you want to call them the Packers, we'll start there. 13-3. You know, it's a team that, again, Bulaga, I think, is a big loss at tackle. And it's really been a much maligned offseason for the Packers.
Yeah, you know, and somebody texted me the other day and said, yesterday actually, and said, why wouldn't the Packers be all over Antonio Brown? You know, and that makes a lot of sense to me because they don't have that player.
Yeah.
They have Devontae Adams, but if they brought Antonio Brown in, that would juice up their offense. Now, I don't think they'll do that, but the reality is you get questioned, why wouldn't they? You know, there was so much chatter on draft day about drafting a receiver, and they went ahead and picked Jordan Love in the first round, but this offense, to me, you know, your leading receiver is Devontae Adams. He was banged up last year. Your second leading receiver is Aaron Jones. Your third leading receiver is the running back. I mean, they've got to find a way to get Aaron Rodgers comfortable. And that's the key word, comfortable, with the other players on this offense, because he hasn't been. He was a lot like Tom Brady last year. He only trusted certain players to throw the ball to. And when that happens, that's a real problem. That's what happens to older quarterbacks. And if they can't get this fixed, it's a problem. We had Chris Sims talk about the in cut that LaFleur was talking to him about when it got kind of heated on the sideline. Why didn't you throw it? Those are the things that older quarterbacks tend to do towards the end when they're not comfortable or trust the players around them.
Okay, so the Packers, Michael, are your second betting favorite at DraftKings at plus 170. The Vikings, a slight favorite there in division at plus 150. Now, again, it's a 13-win team. Their win total at DraftKings right now set at 8.5. It's juiced up a little bit here, minus 137 to the over. I want to take a step back on the Packers. It's a 13-win team, but you were consistently talking about their offense, and we've heard LaFleur's offense be picked apart. What is it about the offense that underwhelms you?
Well, I think there's no symmetry between the Rodgers and the head coach. I think the Rodgers wants to run what he's comfortable running. And I think Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, has tried to make this because Murphy wants to be involved. Murphy really is the general manager, and he wants to be involved. That's why he picked a young head coach. But Rodgers hates turning his back. He doesn't want to run the Rams style of offense. And it's pretty obvious that they don't really want to do that. I mean, just look at Devontae Adams' yards per catch at 12. You know, Aaron Jones was under 10. That's really good at 9.7. But they don't have anybody else. I mean, Lazard, Allison, Valdez, Scantling. I mean, they can't make big plays. And part of it is because Aaron Rodgers struggles to look down the field to make those throws. And when you have a cannon like Rodgers has, you shouldn't be at 7 yards per attempt. You should be well above that. That doesn't change. I think it's going to be problematic.
Okay, as far as a prop, I do have one lock in the NFC North, and I want to get your thoughts. You just mentioned the name Devontae Adams. So in 12 games last year, he had 997 receiving yards, 83 receptions. His number is set at 1,150.5. If he plays more than 14 games, he's going to eclipse that number because that's the option in that offense. I love that number over 1,150.5 on Devontae Adams receiving yards.
I do too. I really do. And I love that because I think he will be a factor. I mean, if he stays healthy, he's the guy that Rodgers trusts the most to get the football to. And I think that's where, you know, if they had Antonio Brown, it would be easy to predict that he would get over that number because Antonio Brown would then become the number one receiver on the team. But without that, you're going to have to rely on Alan Lazard. Who is it going to be? Funchess? You know, who's going to take the pressure off of Adams? But Adams is good enough enough that when he gets doubled, he still makes plays and still gets a ton of yards.
Okay, so let's talk about Aaron Jones's role in this offense, and that is LaFleur is a run guy. You know, there's it's almost a juxtaposition of one of the greatest pure throwers of the football we've ever seen with a guy that wants to run the football and LaFleur. Last year, 236 attempts for Jones on the ground for the Packers, 1,084 yards. He had 16 touchdowns, so he did a pretty good job as far as in the red zone and scoring. 950.5 is the prop on rush yards, Aaron Jones.
Well, I think the question you have to ask yourself if you're going over here is what AJ Dillon's role is going to be on the football team. Mm-hmm. Where is he going to play? Right? Because I mean, he's going to play. They drafted him. They put a huge asset into him. He will play to go along with Williams, to go along with Jones. How's that all going to work? Now, look, I think Jones is dynamic. I think Jones has the ability to be one of the top 10 backs in the National Football League easily. But the key here is what role will A.J. Dillon play? Will he be on the sideline watching? Can he pass protect well enough to make Aaron Rodgers feel that when he's in the game, he can protect? Key question. Don't know the answer to that yet. Got to wait and see the summer tape and see what we get. But that to me would concern me betting over. I would lean under on Aaron Jones.
Okay, so AJ Dillon, I'm glad you brought him up because we talked about him a lot on the Lombardi Line on our Saturday shows last football season, last college season. He's a kid they drafted that was it caused some outrage within the Packer community because he's a between the tackle kind of guy, not necessarily right. Explosive. So those 16 touchdowns from Jones, that production may come down a little bit because he might see Dillon as a red zone runner.
Right. And I think what you're going to see with Dillon is when he's in the game, if he can't prove to the defense that he's a pass receiver, then he becomes a liability in the offense. Because remember, this offense wants to be outside zone, inside zone tight, right? Take play action pass, throw it down the field. Rodgers really doesn't like turning his back to the defense. He hates that. He despises it. He wants to get the ball out of his hands quick. He wants guys to win early. Sometimes he won't throw it to him. If Dillon's in the game and it's all run, that's going to be a real problem because people will attack the pocket. People will go after them in the run game and force them to have to make Dillon block, much like with Barkley does. Barkley's the same way at the Giants. Everybody knows when he's in the game, it's screen, draw, or he's running it.
Now, the Packers were tremendous in division. One question I wanted to ask you, I know Bulaga is, 30, 31 years old, so maybe getting up there. Was there a reason they didn't procure him? Because that, to me, that's a pretty talented blocker for Rodgers and a good run blocker as well.
I think they're worried about his durability and his health. And then when Ricky Wagner became available, they went right through to Ricky Wagner, got themselves what they feel like is a more dependable replacement than Bulaga. And, you know, you can argue that Wagner's not as good, but Bulaga had been hurt quite a bit, you know, and I think that's going to be the key to their football team this year is can the right side, can Billy Turner, Ricky Wagner, can those guys really hold up and play well? Who's going to replace, not that I thought that Jimmy Graham was really a great player last year, but there's still question marks. Mercedes Lewis is more blocker than he is receiver. Who is going to be that inside receiver that really helps them this season? That's going to be a question that we have to figure out.
Now, I know 13-3 was a masquerade and a bit misleading. You just shook your head when I even brought it up, but 8.5, that's a pretty big adjustment. Now the division's going to be better. You expect the Lions to be better. Minnesota, as I mentioned, is the favorite in division, but at the same time, it's, you know, the Bears, we'll get to them in just a little bit, but that's a big time adjustment from 13 wins to essentially 9 wins. If you're going over that 8.5.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Vegas really is bought into them. I didn't buy into them last year. I mean, when you go out to the Chargers and you get really romped like you did last year. And then when you go into, you know, when you go out to San Francisco and just can't even compete against them. I mean, they were very fortunate. Look, the last game of the year against the Lions, it took everything in their power to win that game. I mean, everything in their power, you know? And so, I mean, look, you know, they went into Kansas City and they won. Give them credit. Now, I understand that when they beat Kansas City, it was Patrick Mahomes wasn't there, but they put 31 on Kansas City. You know, they put 31 on Kansas City. I think to me, the schedule, even though, you know, they've got a first place schedule, I think this is going to be more challenging. And like you said, those first four games out of the block are not going to be easy for the Packers whatsoever.
And BetMGM, our sponsor here, has them to start 4-0, 10-1, to start 0-4, 14-1. But you look at, listen, they've got a week 5 bye. That's not That's not ideal, Michael, but they're starting at Minnesota, where they're a 3.5-point dog in week one. They then come home, host the Lions. They're at New Orleans, and then they host the Falcons, and then they have a week five bye. Not an ideal bye situation there.
No, I mean, the question is do you think they've gotten better on defense? That's the fundamental question. Look, we know the Smith brothers, and they're not brothers, can rush the passer, but do you feel comfortable enough that their scheme and the talent can come together to stop a good run team? Because I promise you, Gary Kubiak's watched that Kyle Shanahan tape and watched what he did to him. Now, they lose Blake Martinez. Okay, who's going to replace Blake? Oren Burke? Okay, let's see what happens there. Who is going to replace Kyle Frickell, who they lost as an outside backer? Where's that coming from? They signed Christian Kirksey from the Browns. He's going to step inside. So for me, where are they on defense is really the biggest question. And we know this. We know Jair Alexander can
flat-out
cover.
He's tremendous.
Very good.
Yes.
But everybody throws the ball at Kenny King. Can Kenny King hold up in man-to-man, and can he survive? I think this is a question. This is one of the teams, I think, the Packers, and I defended the Jordan Love the drafting, but there's some players that they need to add to their roster to me to really make them a much better team. And I don't think they've done it. I think they've slept and haven't been as proactive as they need to be this time of the year. They should be after some players to help their team.
Okay. The favored team in division would be the Vikings. 10-6 last year, Michael. They upset New Orleans in the wild card game. Now, some losses here. You know, this is a team that's favored in division, NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings. Linval Joseph is gone. A player you really like, Everson Griffin, is gone. Of course, Stephon Diggs is in Buffalo. They did have Michael Pierce, the defensive tackle from Baltimore. And of course, they drafted Justin Jefferson, probably the most pro-ready coming out of college wide receiver to replace Stephon Diggs. But this is a team, again, that went 10-6. Overview to start on the Vikings.
I think a lot of it, you know, Dalvin Cook's talking about holding out. I think a lot of it is to their offensive line. Can this offensive line really come together and play well? Can they do that? I think that's going to be critical, because that's been the Achilles heel of this team the last couple seasons. And then when we look at it, how good can the defense progress? Where are they going to replace Everson Griffin? They got a star in Danielle Hunter, but who's going to replace Everson Griffin? Because we saw this game against New Orleans, how good he was. You know, for me, Cousins is, it's all about play action passes, right? So we just seen two quarterbacks right at the 3,800 mark in passing, both kind of running similar offense. Kubiak wants to run. Kubiak and Shanahan, it's really Kubiak's offense. Shanahan's worked for Kubiak. And then LaFleur, who worked for McVay, is running the same kind of thing. I think that's going to be the key. Can Justin Jefferson make that step forward? That's going to be a key question for me. I'm not sure he can, you know, rookies to come in and gain that many yards. Now, he's ready to play. You know, but can he beat out Tajus Sharp for that job? That's the question mark. I think there's a lot of debate about their offense. I like their players. I like their team. I like some of the young players. What I worry about, are they too young?
Okay, so tale of two halves last year as far as offensively. I'll get to that in a second. The Vikings right now, 8.5 at DraftKings, juiced up to 150. So you're going to find nines on the board elsewhere as well on the Minnesota Vikings win total. There you see it. PointsBet has them 9, juiced up to 125. So again, shot for the best number here. As far as the Vikings, listen, Cousins at BetMGM, his passing yard total as far as a prop is 3,800. 100.5. Last year, Cousins threw for 3,603 and 26 touchdowns. I said it was a tale of two halves, though, Michael. Stefanski, who's now the head coach in Cleveland, it probably was an edict from Zimmer. They ran the heck out of the ball the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, and that's who they are, right? So that's really what they want to do. They want to be able to run the football to set up their play action pass. That's what really Kirk Cousins is. That's what Gary Kubiak is. The word on the street always about the Kubiak offense, and it's still the word on the street about the Shanahan offense, is they don't have enough dropback passing in their offense. That's true. That's a fact. When the game becomes a dropback pass game, because of the style of offensive linemen they recruit and develop, it becomes hard for them to throw dropback passes. This was the case when Mike Shanahan was the head coach of the Broncos. It was a problem. Now, what he was able to do was he never got in that. He was able to get the lead, play from in front, and he could keep running his play action and keep his linemen from having to be a dropback game. That's the same problem, I think, in Minnesota. That's why they're not heavy run, they're heavy play action. And I think that's going to be the key. And can Cousins survive in that? That's going to be the question mark. Can he keep taking a step? Without Diggs there, how much pressure is on Thielen to really make the play? I mean, Thielen's got a lot of pressure on him to be the guy. It's going to be interesting to see what he does.
And his number set at 1,100. It's a big number. Now, in 2018, Thielen had over 1,300, 1,373. I want to go back to the rookie. Jefferson set at 675 and a half as far as receiving yards in his prop. Where are you going there?
Well, I think I'd go under. I really worry about rookies coming in and really making a huge impact. I think he's talented. I think he could come in there. He's played in a sophisticated attack. He understands how to do it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens and the effect of Thielen. How do teams treat Thielen? Right. So how are they going to treat him? Are they going to double him? Are they going to just kind of wait and see? I think that's going to be the key question, because Diggs, when you look at Diggs, 63 catches, 1,100 yards, tied for touchdowns. You know, who's going to make those Diggs plays? Can Jefferson do that? I think that's the fundamental question for me with the Vikings. I worry about that. I would go under.
Yeah. Diggs was remarkably efficient when he played. July, Michael, marks the return of major sports. If you're in Nevada and want to get in on the action, you want to wager at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who brought you the world-class sportsbook and casino experiences to Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip. They're tremendous. You bring your state issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM. State of the art technology. It's fan friendly, specials every day of the week. And if you're excited about the return of basketball, baseball, and hockey with football right around the corner, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Go to betmgm.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're just getting started on the prop special. NFC North, we continue. MVP Mitch and the Bears, that's coming up next. And then, well, the Lions as we continue. It's the Lombardi Line. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome you in. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. A little prop special, NFC and AFC North. As we were going to break, we were talking, Michael, about the Vikings. Are they the just favorite in division? So let me just put it this way. PointsBet has the Vikings and the Packers both at 9. If you're laying your money on one to go over, are you going Pack or are you going Vikings?
I would probably lean towards the Vikings. I like the Vikings' young talent, especially some of the kids they drafted. I'm not sure it all come together. When I say go under on Jefferson, I don't mean it as a disrespect or right. I don't like him as a player. I just worry about young receivers. But I like Minnesota's team. I also like the fact that Mike Zimmer, I know he said it made his son and another coach, the defensive coordinator. But in reality, Mike Zimmer is a defensive coach at heart. And last year being 15th in the National Football League and third down was something that had to upset him tremendously. And I think this Viking defense will be much better this year. They needed to get faster. Their secondary couldn't cover anybody last year. We know that. They got some of these young corners, Danzler, that they drafted. This kid's got to come on and play well. That's going to be the key. And without a preseason, without really an offseason, that's where I'm reluctant to go all in.
And why Cousins is titillating, that throw in the playoff game to Thielen was, it's one of the better throws you're going to see, and then he'll frustrate you, right? But when he's in play action in a rhythm, he can be a very effective quarterback. Okay, yeah. Let's continue with your buddies there up in Chicago, the monsters of the Midway, Mr. Lombardi, the Bears. They're 7.5 at DraftKings, okay? They're 8.5 at PointsBet. So shop for the best number of season win total. In division, they're plus 425. To get out of the conference, they're 20-1. And to win it all, they're 40-1, that being the Bears. Overview on the Bears. And remember, as far as a starter week one, that number completely flipped. I think it's a Lombardi effect. It's going to be Trubisky.
Yeah, it's going to be Trubisky. I don't care. I don't really want to debate that anymore. The reality here is this is a 7-9 team. They beat Minnesota in the last game when nothing really mattered for Minnesota. That's why I think you see DraftKings have it at 7. I think that's the right number. 7 is the right number for this team because there's a couple things going on here. They have the real hard, and it's just not on MVP Mitch. This offense last year ranked dead last on converting third and ones. Dead last on third and one in the wow. National. They can't knock anybody off the football. They scored 8 touchdowns rushing. That's all they could do. They have zero toughness as an offense. And if you're going to win games against Minnesota and Green Bay and even Detroit, you better have some real toughness. Those two Detroit games with backup quarterbacks were a lot closer than they should have been, assuming the Bears are great. I think the Bears are kind of an overhyped team. I like them on defense. I just don't think Matt Nagy's got the right offense for the player set. I think the longer they go into Matt Nagy's personality, the softer they get as a team.
You know, I don't understand as far as running the football. I understand the as far as offensive line play and running and run blocking, they were near the bottom. But again, Montgomery had, you know, 889 yards on 242 attempts. It's not like they weren't feeding him the rock. By the way, David Montgomery, his rush total this year as far as a prop is set at 900.5.
I'm going to go under there. Look, they hired Juan Castillo as the offensive line coach. He had just been fired in Buffalo. It's part of that whole Andy Reid's line coach in Philadelphia for many years. He went to Buffalo, went to Baltimore, Buffalo. So this is going to be interesting. Remember, he was the guy that Andy Reid made the defensive coordinator in Philadelphia. How he fixes this line, that to me is going to be the key question is where is the line going to gain some toughness? That's going to be a tough job for Juan to handle. And then are they going to be able to not go into games and saying, look, well, let's run triple reverse to get a yard and just stick it and try to beat somebody physically. Take some of the pressure off of MVP Mitch. But this was what we know about the Bears. Whenever they play a team that is different, is unique, and is unpredictable on defense, bet against MVP Mitch, because unless it goes exactly the way he practiced it on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, he's not a good bet.
By the way, that line that was down last year returns 4 starters, so not necessarily a good omen for the Bears there. You know, Allen Robinson he had a huge year last year, 1,147 receiving yards. His number set at 1050.5. That's a big number for nobody throwing him the football.
Well, I mean, if Folk gets in there, that's the one thing Foles does a good job of is throwing this thing down the field, you know, so you've got that. But look, let's go over their wins. They beat Denver. They shouldn't. That game wasn't very good, right? Their big win was beating Minnesota in week 4 at 16-6, yes. Right? I mean, they beat Detroit. They beat the Giants. And then they beat the Cowboys. I mean, you know, that's the game I think that got the clapper fired. When the Bears beat them 31-24, you know, I think that's the game that got the clapper fired.
8.5. If I give you that number on the
under.
Bears. Okay.
Under.
Okay.
Under. All day long.
It's a 7-win team?
I think it is. I think it's going to be lucky to get 7 wins because they don't play in front. They don't highlight their defense.
All right. They open up week 1 in Detroit, Ford Field against the Lions. The Lions are coming up next right here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So I tell you every day, but I really encourage you, remember, once one of the big 4 comes back, this is going away, this offer. VSiN Plus is free right now, and included in that, you get point spread weekly, and that's one of the benefits, of course, of the VSiN Plus subscription. And again, you get the midday email from Bill AD that tells you, okay, these are the guests, these are the hosts on VSiN, here's who they're betting today. Soccer, everything. Golf, we've got you covered. Also, we've increased the amount of stats and analysis we post at VSiN.com. Just bookmark it. You're going to use it every single day. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It's free until August. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. You got a month of free. Trust me, you're going to keep it. We welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. My name is Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Hope you're having a nice day. That's my buddy Michael Lombardi in Jersey. Okay. So we talked about the Bears. You got the Bears right around 7 wins. Let's talk about the Lions. The Lions across the board are sitting at 6.5, juiced up a little bit, -130 to the over, -150 to the over at PointsBet. I'll just put it this way. This is a team, Michael, that could have started 5-0, and in those five games to start the season last year, Kansas City and Green Bay were involved. Remember, a team that was leading 24-6 in the fourth quarter in Arizona to start the year ended up tying there. Then the Stafford injury, and everything went downhill after that. Now, if you're looking for promise, the one thing I would caution you as a Lions fan is Patricia's defense just continued to get worse, and it's not very complex. Overview on my Lions.
Well, I think this. I think when you break them down, once Stafford went out, they didn't have a backup quarterback. I was screaming all last summer to get a backup quarterback in Detroit because I was worried about Matthew Stafford's mental health and how he was going to deal with his wife, Kelly. They'd ignored that. They suffered through that. But then when you break this team down, I mean, for all the simplicities that they are on defense, for all the cover one, I mean, they're in a lot of games. Even bad teams, they play close. I mean, they lose to the Redskins 19-16, inexcusable, but they didn't have a quarterback, right? You know, I mean, and you go through these games. I mean, the Bears, two of the Bear games, they easily had a chance. They came back. If that guy's healthy, if Stafford's healthy and he plays the way he did early in the season, then I think this Lions team is going to be a real trouble for, I think it's over on that number. And I could see why people are spending money to go over, because I do think they have enough skill, and his talent last year was really obvious. And a second year with the system, away from Jim Bob Cooter into the Daryl Bevel system, I think it gives them a chance. And if they can play from in front a little bit, which will take some of the pressure off their defense and not expose that lack of pass rush, I think it could help them get over.
Yeah, remember, they draft DeAndre Swift, who is a guy that could also catch the ball out of the backfield out of Georgia. Kerryon Johnson's going to be healthy. The weapons offensively are tremendous. Galladay, who is ready to break out and become a star. Marvin Jones is still tremendous. And again, you know, TJ Hockenson, it's a team offensively. And you mentioned Stafford. He was on pace before the injury to throw for 5,000 yards. This is a guy that his number is set at 4,100.5. I can assure you, I feel very comfortable he goes over 4,100 yards if he's healthy.
I agree with that completely. The concern I have with this Detroit Lion team is their inability to play situational football. We talk about this. Everybody wants to say, well, Patricia is a disciple of Belichick. But when you look at this team in terms of situational football, especially as bad as they were on third down defense, 28th overall, they were 30th in 2-minute defense. It cost them the Chief game. They couldn't stop the pass when it became all pass. That's what worries me. Now, they can add all the secondary people with Trufant and Okuda and all that, but at some point Rush has got to get there. And with just Trey Flowers and no dominant inside player, I worry about them being able to rush. Don't tell me Danny Shelton's going to be any rusher. He's not. Danny Shelton's a run stopper. He won't be on the field half the time.
Yeah, I would say if you're in Jersey, go ahead and bet that quickly, because they've got him listed at 4,100.5. There's no way on our graphic we have 4,500. Matt Ryan's listed at 4,500. I think 4,100 is way light on Matthew Stafford. Okay, so are the Lions the third best team in division?
I do. I think, look, when you look at divisions, right, I think you have to look at a couple things. You got to look at the quarterback, right? Line up the quarterbacks, right? Typically, that leads us to the answer. Who's the best quarterback in the division? Is it Rodgers? Is it Cousins? Now, Chris Sims would tell you it's Rodgers. I would say it's Rodgers, but I worry about Rodgers being the way he played last year in this system. So it could be Cousins. I think that's why there's a toss-up. But then I think the third best is obviously Stafford. I don't believe that Chicago solved its quarterback problems with Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles, if you ask anybody in Jacksonville, they thought they did when they signed him. They didn't afterwards.
Let's jump to the AFC North, Michael, here on a little prop special show. It's the Lombardi line. We're going to start with the clear favorites in the AFC North. 14-2, a league best last year for the Ravens. Most think they got better in the offseason. I've got DraftKings at 11, 110 up and down for the season win total. Very balanced team, led the NFL in scoring at 31.9 per game. Did they get better in the offseason, the Ravens?
Well, I think they did. I think, you know, the question is, they have added more talent. Did they get better as a football team? That remains to be seen. Can they throw the ball? You know, when the Ravens attempted 32 rushing attempts in a game or less, they were 1-3. So think about that. When they attempted 32 rushing attempts in a game or less, they were 1-3, counting the playoffs. In 9 games, they had over 40 carries. What happens if people play this run much better? What happens? Can Lamar throw the ball consistently? I think he can. I think he's going to improve. I think he takes a step forward like he did at Louisville. He took steps every single year. But I think that's it. I think this is a 12-win team, not a 14-win team. I think it's a 12-win team that's better than the 14-win team last year.
6.5 to 1 to win it all as far as the Ravens are concerned. You mentioned that run game. Ingram ran for over 1,000 yards. His number set at 850.5 as far as a rush yard prop. And remember, they drafted J.K. Dobbins.
Right. I mean, look, they've got a ton of talent on offense. I mean, I think Marquise Brown will go over that number if he's healthy for the whole season. And here's where cause and effect comes in, Patrick. Right. So the Ravens can run the football. The Ravens control the football. They led the league in time of possessions or were first or second. OK, what does that mean? That means that their defense played less defense. When they played the Chiefs gained 503 yards against them in just 27 minutes. The Browns had 500 yards against them in just over 30 minutes. What we never got a real good glimpse of until the final game of the year against Tennessee was how good is this defense? Do they have enough depth? Because the offense keeps them in that 26 to 27 minute range of defense, and they look spectacular. But when they have to play more defense, are they going to be good enough? I think the answer is yes, especially with the addition of Calais Campbell and some of the other players that they added.
Big time favorites in division, minus 225 on the Ravens. You mentioned Calais Campbell. They added Derek Wolfe. They drafted Patrick Queen in the second round out of LSU. That's also maybe actually ended the first round on Patrick Queen as well.
Patrick Queen was the one. Yeah, okay. That was their first rounder.
There it is. We come back with a 2-win Bengals team. We continue along prop special right here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, so you can double your bankroll in an instant with Instant Match from BetMGM Sports. To enjoy this exclusive offer for VSiN viewers and listeners, just sign up and make your first deposit with the promo code VSiN250, and BetMGM will match it up to $250 in free bets. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and use the promo code VSiN250 to get your first deposit matched up to $250 in free bets. This special instant match offer is only available for VSiN fans. Visit BetMGM for a new customer offer. Terms and conditions: must be 21 years or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick, he's Michael. We're going AFC North with our prop special. I want to talk about the Bengals. You know, we've talked about it so much, but, you know, they won 2 games last year. Their win total is set at, what do you think, across the board right now, Michael? The Bengals.
5.5.
You nailed it.
5.5.
100%, 5.5. Is it a team that's worthy of five? It feels like bettors are betting into Burrow.
Yeah, they're betting into Burrow, and I don't think they're really aware of how bad they were on defense last year. And I think they were in a lot of games into the fourth quarter when they couldn't close games out, you know, and then it started to get ugly at the end. I'm not sold they're better on defense. I'm not sold the coaching staff is better. You know, I'm not. I mean, they won the last game of the year against Cleveland, which obviously, you know, Cleveland, you know, they lose at Miami by 3 points. They played the Patriots for a half pretty well. It was a close game.
Right.
And then, like anything, like it happens, they just couldn't generate any offense at all going through it. So Burrow will help them. And obviously, A.J. Greenback helps them tremendously. The Williams kid, the left tackle from Alabama, who they drafted in the first round a year ago, that helps them. This offensive line has not played well in the last few seasons. Mm-mm. It's been a disaster, to say the least. They've got one of the most talented running backs in the National Football League in Joe Mixon. You know, if Joe Mixon was on the Patriots, you would say, oh, my gosh, this guy got a chance to, you know, he could be, you know, an elite back in the National Football League. But there, nobody sees him. So I think there's enough talent there to think they could get to 5. Can they get to 6? Yeah. I think the question is, can they improve on defense? Can Geno Atkins play better? Can Carlos Dunlap play better? Now, they put money in DJ Reader, right? They put money in him. They put money in Trey Waynes. They put money in Mackenzie Alexander. They spent money last year, which is not typical of the Bengals. So that's why I think you'll see a lot of people betting the over.
And money in Von Bell, the safety. Good job with Waynes and Alexander. So they spent in that secondary. It's a team you had to kind of watch visually. You know, I always compare Zach Taylor to Flores because I watched that Flores team get better. I didn't watch Zach Taylor's team kind of hold on towards the end of the season. They do draft T. Higgins. AJ Green will be back. Tyler Boyd, you know, all things considered, that could be a pretty good receiving core.
I mean, Auden Tate was a good player for him last year. I mean, Auden Tate was like, you know, he had 40 catches, averaged 14 and a half yards a catch. I mean, I only had one touchdown, but there weren't a lot of touchdowns going around. Look, this is all going to come down to Burrow's ability to adapt to the game and their ability to adapt to Joe Burrow. And I'm a Joe Burrow fan. I am, but I go back to Peyton Manning 1-15 his first year. I go back to Troy Aikman 1-15. But I will say this, when you looked at those teams, you could make that comparison. This Bengal team offensively is way more talented than the Peyton Manning team. Even with Bobby Hart at right tackle and Sufalo at right guard. I mean, they're concerning to me at the offensive line. They've got to improve. If they can, they've got weapons everywhere. They've got more skill than most teams would think of.
Mixon on the ground 11.37 last year. His total, they're going to hand him the rock to protect the rookie. His total set right now at 1100 and a half. So Mixon, I would imagine, 1150 and a half. I think you'd probably like the over. And by the way, Burrow's passing yards, Michael, 3,700 and a half.
You know, I mean, look, he's going to get all those yards because they're going to be they'll probably play from behind. Yeah. I like Burrow on the over here because you can average 4.1 yards per carry behind that bad line. I mean, think about that. They're behind that. They had 9 touchdowns rushing last year. Andy Dalton scored 4 of them, right? Mm. Andy Dalton scored 4 of them. So, you know, that offensive line was bad. Giannardo Bernard, he's got to play much better than he has. He has to. Because he's a guy that gives them a little bit of a change of pace. He averaged 7-8 per attempt in a passing game. That's not good enough for the role he plays. He was at 3-2 per carry. And this is why Mixon's so impressive, because at 4.1 behind that bad line, yeah. I mean, trust me, you know, you wouldn't want to run behind that bad line. Now change that, see where it goes.
And always look for, you know, the running back to protect the rookie starter. Now, the Steelers in 2019, Michael, Pittsburgh, you know, they lost Ben in week 2 and still finished 8-8 with your buddy, the Duckster. Their win total is set at 9, juiced up to 121 on the over. They're plus 350, the Steelers in division. The problem last year wasn't the defense. They didn't have a wide receiver or a tight end exceed 800 yards receiving. That's an issue.
No doubt, that's an issue, and it was an issue when Ben was there. They lose the first 3 games of the season to start the year. They lose the last 3 games of the season to end the year. So those 6 losses happened in the last three weeks and the first 3 weeks, and they scored 30 points in the last 3 games combined. If they had anybody who could play quarterback, you know, not the Duckster, not Mason Rudolph, if they had anybody that could actually make an offense go, they had a chance to make the playoffs, and I like them. I do. I think Ben's got to play better than he did the first 2 weeks. He's got to come back in shape. He's got to play better. And they've got to find a solution, whether it's James Washington, whether it's Johnson. You know, it's got to be somebody. They're trying to get the ball to Samuels way too much. Samuels average. Sometimes guys get labeled explosive players when they're not, right? Samuels averages under 3 yards a carry, 2.7 to be exact. As a receiver, he's at 6.5. Now, maybe that's the quarterback, but not the runner, right? So they need to kind of get the ball away. He was their second leading receiver on the team, 47 catches. That's not good enough. Their longest run was 45 yards by Terrell Edmonds. I mean, they've got to find explosive players somewhere in this offense. It's not Connor. They haven't been able to run the ball really well. Even going back to about 15, they haven't run. Le'Veon Bell could run it. He was really good. But they haven't been in the top 15 since 2015 running.
By the way, that the bookmakers are banking on Ben not playing 16. His passing yards is set at 3,800.5. If he plays 14 games, he's going to exceed that. So they're not planning him playing 16. Obviously, Connor 460. Connor's not a great run. I mean, I'm sorry. The story's great. Connor's not explosive. His number set at 775.5, and they averaged 90 on the ground last year behind a pretty good offensive line. That's just not getting it done.
No, they just don't have any juice. As John Gruden would say, they got no juice, man. They got nothing. They got no juice. Give me some juice here. That's what they lack more than anything. You know, they lack that. And let's face it, you know, Smith-Schuster had some juice when Brown was there. Right. But James Washington can be a good player, but it seems he's too inconsistent with in terms of understanding what to do. He makes way too many mental mistakes for a guy who's getting about ready to go in his third year.
And they did add Ebron, who started to be able to catch the ball in Indy, and Chase Claypool they drafted out of Notre Dame. 9 on the Steelers before we move on to the Browns. What are you feeling on that?
I think they can win 9. I think they can win 9. I like the over there. I do. I like them. As much as I'm worried about their juice and their offense, I like the over.
Okay, we're talking about a 6-win team here in Vegas. It was everybody's team, right? That being the Browns last year. They were bad on offense. The offensive line play was horrific. You know, they still rushed for 118 on the ground because Nick Chubb had a tremendous year behind a bad offensive line.
You know, I think Stefanski's going to be really a good fit for them because he wants to run the ball and they need to get away from Baker and get to the run game. They need to get Baker under center so he can utilize his skill as a play action passer and not be in that shotgun all the time. And they need to feature Chubb and Hunt. I mean, those are the two guys that need to get the ball. Right. I know Landry. I know Beckham. They've got skill. There's no doubt. The question mark really comes down on defense. Are they good enough on defense? Are they good enough? When Greg Williams was there, everybody was talking about Denzel Ward because he was a great cover guy. Well, they played so much cover two, you could never get to Denzel Ward. Last year, when they played a lot of cover one, they were not a good defense. And I think the questions are going to really come in. Are they good enough on defense to hold up? And we'll see. I don't see it. You know, I think that when they get Garrett back, obviously that makes a huge difference. But, you know, for me, they couldn't stop the run. They gave up over 2,300 yards. That's going to be hard for them to improve in terms of where they are. 5.66 yards per attempt, the opponent ranked to run against them.
Couldn't stop. By the way, Michael, he ran for 1,500 yards, Chubb. I mean, this is again, not a good offensive line. They go ahead and add Jack Conklin, draft Jedrick Wills, so they've got the two bookends ready to go. On defense, by the way, Carl Joseph, the safety, Aaron Claiborne, and they draft Grant Delpit out of LSU.
And they signed a fullback, and here's why they signed a fullback for betters, right? Mayfield only attempted 67 passes last year when two backs were on the field. And when he did, he completed 39 of them, and he averaged 8.4 yards per attempt. That's critical, right? He's better under center. He's better in a two-back offense where he can utilize play action and get away from the line and see down the field. He can't see. He gets back there, and people now know how to rush him inside and close him in. When he escapes the pocket, he's deadly. He's really accurate outside the pocket, but force him to play quarterback under center in the pocket, he can't see. And that's why it's so important to get their run game going, Patrick.
3,827 through the air, 21 interceptions, though. 3,800.5 on Baker. Quickly, over that number?
I think it's going to be under that number. Okay. I think they're going to limit what he does. I think they're going to try to not lose games. I think the interceptions are too high. They've got to slow the game down because I don't know where they are on defense. Because, look, let's face it, if they don't stop this run game, if they give up 5-6-6 a carry, they'll have the ball 26 minutes and not enough time to score.
Okay, before we get out of here, the Browns are 6-1 in division, and 8.5 is the win total. What are you feeling on that win total in the Browns?
I think they're an 8-8 team. I'd go under on the 8.5. I think that's why Vegas has got it perfect, right under the under.
Prop special, AFC North, NFC North. Tremendous job, Michael Lombardi, at M Lombardi NFL. We're at VSiN Live. Remember, you missed anything, go to VSiN.com. The podcasts are there as well. I'll see you tomorrow, Michael.
Thanks, Patrick.
Okay, The Edge is coming up next with JVT. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the sports betting network.